Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and we're starting the show a little bit late today. Sorry about those technical difficulties, but I'm going to be keeping an eye out for people who want to reach me through another venue. I'm actually opening up LinkedIn. If you want to post a question to me there, in case I can't quite hear my producer for some reason, or if I have a difficulty reading the messages, I really appreciate your patience. Okay. And so today I'm going to be talking about a wide variety of things. When we have a survey, I usually do a survey for my radio show. Yeah, I want to know what people are thinking periodically. I posed several different questions in the general Seattle area, the greater Seattle area. I really want people to tell me how they feel and what they truly think. Because earlier this week, I had a debate with my son, and I love the honesty, the candor, and the banter that he and I can do with each other that we can have and still be good. Now, it looks like I have someone posing a question to me on LinkedIn. Don, let me know if he calls back. His name is Andrew. Was Andrew the one who was calling in earlier?
I'm still on.
Okay, good. Oh, you're still there. Great, great. Andrew, go ahead. I might have a hard time hearing this, but go ahead and put him through because I see him writing a question here. I want to see if it's the same thing that he's going to ask me when you put him in. Can you go ahead and hook us up? Oh, great. Hi, Andrew. You had a question. I love your question. So say it out loud for all of our listeners to hear.
How are you doing today? Do you believe that just because there's intersectional feminism now, that feminism as a whole is an inclusive equality movement?
Ooh, okay, intersectional. Now, that's a pretty big word. That's a pretty big buzzword. I don't know how many, honestly, of my listeners would be able to relate to that. So use another word for intersectional, because I do have an answer for that. Trust me, I do have an answer already. What is intersectional feminism, in your opinion?
Okay, like, feminism to me, like, give me 1 second.
So let me just start out by saying, well, feminism, thank you for very, very much for asking me that question, because honestly, I got some pretty extreme answers. The question that I asked, what we're talking about is, are men and women equal? I think feminism just started out with, are men and women equal in value? Because what happened was, okay, we got jobs, we've got income, we've got time, we've got money, we've got opportunities. Aren't men and women worthy? There we go, like worthy of the same opportunities. Absolutely. But when we're talking about intersectional, that just means gender, race, social class, orientation, religion, availability. When we have to have these overlapping social categories, then we know that these are not mutually exclusive. They're indelibly intertwined. You cannot say a woman is a black middle-aged woman. No, a woman is still a woman, and a man is just a man. You know what? It doesn't really matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter what country you were born in, or it doesn't matter what color your skin is or what age you are. We all have the same inherent needs. Now, originally what it started out as in the way of equality was we have the same merits. We're worthy of the same opportunities. But are we the same people? I think that's when it devolved into men and women are the same. And I think, honestly, because I'm a Generation X, I was born in 1976 and I was raised in the 80s. Unfortunately, a lot of what I was exposed to personally in the entertainment industry, the movies, the radio, the books, the television, daytime TV, it was big time talk shows, right? Phil Donahue, Oprah Winfrey. I was getting a lot of people with a lot of opinions. And so I never really thought for myself, what do I view people as? All I heard was what people were telling me they thought that those things were. Now, when we're talking about sociology doesn't play a part. You don't think sociology, it absolutely does. But when I'm talking about the dynamics of our needs don't inherently change. If you're saying other things and I can't hear you, I'm going to talk just about what I'm starting with again. I'm so sorry. I'm not usually this disheveled. When we have needs as women and men, we need to understand our differences. Men and women are not equal because they're not identical. We're not the same. And I love to give the example of a joke, right? The computer's gender about why we love to hate each other. We see things very differently. We interpret things very differently. We need things very differently. So when we start to quantify our value as people and really putting it in the, I'm going to get the same job as a man. Well, okay, congratulations. But if you're miserable doing that job, then is that really success in your mind? Or I'm going to get more money for doing the job that I've been doing for 20 years. Well, great, good for you. But a man needs that too. When we are undermining each other instead of working together, then that's when it becomes toxic. And yes, I posed a question on social media a little while ago about toxicity. Yeah, that's a good fun buzzword. But what is it? It literally means poison. Okay, so if we're talking about something that is harmful to another person to the point of making them sick in some way, mentally or emotionally sick, then we got to stop doing it. At some point when I was told that studies are showing, yeah, men can do the same things that women can do the same things that men can do, that doesn't mean anything. Because we need to work together and our differences in personalities, we complement each other's in our skills and abilities. Stop quantifying things and see it like body parts. That's what I do for my personalities. When we have the differences between an eye and an ear or a hand and a foot, it's just, you can't compare which one's more important because they're so distinctly different. We're not apples and oranges. We're apples and cars. We are oranges and televisions. Our constitution and our composition is so very different. And so, yeah, we have a synergy that we can create when we come together. We complement each other. Yes, Tom Cruise was sexy when he said, "You complete me." No, we don't complete each other. We complement each other. So when, studies, I see another question here. Studies showing display of women are victims of abuse and rape more than men somehow invalidates or refutes the notion that male rape victims and male domestic violence victims should be average. Well, of course, again, it's what I'm saying is that everyone of value, the inherent need, we all have inherent needs. And I'll go back to the hand and the foot, or with my personality profiling, I use SJs as muscles and SPs as muscles and SJs are bones. What's more important? What deserves more attention? You can't compare the two. They're equally important, just in different ways. And that's my message to the people that I was speaking to in the greater Everett area for the last week, men and women, things like feminism. When we have to go to a political or a legal venue in order to fight with each other, we are becoming toxic right then and there because we don't complete each other. We complement each other. And I ask people, what's more important, your brain or your heart? Well, you know what? Your heart needs your brain in order to work, and the brain needs the heart to pump the blood. They are vitally important to the success of each other, just in different ways and for different reasons. So when we have men and women of many different personalities doing many different things, let's stop quantifying their value and these things that they're doing in a monetary or a political way, because that right there promotes competition. And when we compete with each other, we don't want to cooperate with each other. The word cooperate just means work together. And so again, you know what? Let's go back all the way back to the very beginning of synergy. And I wrote this down because I did my homework this time. If you Google the word synergy, it says the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of its separate effects. Okay, you know what? Now I have a brain fart. Now, The total is worth more than the sum of its parts. We get together and we become more. Now, let me give you an example. Let's just give you a math problem. Let's say we want to quantify people. Okay, fine. That's a stupid thing to do, but let's do it for the sake of argument. On a scale of 1 to 10, one person is worth 2. 3. No, you know what? We'll say 3. 1 is worth 6. 1 is worth 8. If you add 3 plus 6 plus 8, when they come together, that's 18. But what if you multiply 3 times 6 times 8? That's 144. That's a lot more than 18. But what if someone who's just a 2 says, well, I'm just a 2. But if you're powerful, if you have synergy with the people that you come together with, you're not just multiplying them, you're empowering them. Well, exponentially, 144 to the second power is 20,736. Yeah, that's more than 18, and that's a whole lot more than 144. That's even more than 288, which is 144 times 2. 144 to the second power is 20,736. Do you appreciate the power that you have? Ask yourself, who do you believe that you are truly accountable to? And what do you believe you are accountable for? Yeah, responsibility is powerful. It's important. But even more important than responsibility is accountability. Now, I was going to take a commercial break during my show, but you know what? Just because I got on so late, I'm going to go ahead and work through the whole show. If anybody does have a comment or a question, we can try this again. Thank you, Andrew, for your patience. I really appreciate your willingness to email me instead of call in. Because if this is a technical difficulty, then there's not a whole lot we can do about it right now. The number to the station is 888-627-6008. And I'm going to keep going at back to refresh. I got about 30,000 LinkedIn connections. In case any of them want to send me a message here, then they're more than welcome to do that. Okay, so when we're talking about the people that I was talking with literally on the street, I would go to bus stops. I would get off the bus and talk to the people that were sitting there waiting. I would go to stations. I would go from business to business when the next bus wasn't come for an hour. Okay. Then I'd go into the companies and say, hi, you're the secretary. I work for BBS Radio and I want to ask you your opinion. One of the questions that I asked was, do you believe that women get away with things that men don't get away with just because they're women? And let me tell you, that was a hot button. That was a nerve that I touched for some women, for some men. The bottom line is men were scared to death. They did not want to tell me what their honest answer was because, yeah, we know that women can get away with all kinds of things that men can't get away with, but is that based on feminism? No, it's because men see women very differently than women see women. Yeah, and men see men very differently than they see women. So is that a good thing or a bad one? Well, the question was about impropriety. Can women get away with inappropriate things? Yeah, we can. Should we and do we? Now, that's another reason that I love talking to people when we got into genuine conversation. The men who were most passionate, who were not afraid to answer the question honestly, said, well, they shouldn't. They shouldn't because all people are equal. I said, the question is not should they. The question is, do they? Do they get away with more? And then ultimately, yeah, we do, because we allow ourselves to. When we have personal power, how we wield it is entirely our choice. Now, do we have that conscience? Well, I decided, you know what, actually, because I was getting kind of comfortable with the idea of going up to complete and total strangers on the street and they're in their businesses, I asked another question. It was about respect and trust. And this is something that my son and I discussed earlier, I think a couple of weeks ago. Can you respect a person that you don't trust? It begs the same virtue of the same question. The principle is accountability. You know what? I could not believe this, ladies and gentlemen. How many people, when they responded, can you respect a person that you don't trust? I was getting absolutely extreme answers. One, okay, I'll be honest with you. My favorite one was in the mall. I went into a clothing store in the mall and I said, hi, you work here? I just want to ask you a question. You're the manager. Great. I said, can you respect a person that you don't trust? And he looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language. And he said, of course, I work in retail. And I said, that was beautiful. He basically said, I don't trust anybody, but I have to behave in a respectful way when I am working, because that's the only way I'm going to get business. It's the only way I'm going to make money. And I said, okay, wait a minute now. Let's go ahead and talk about what is respect and what is trust? Because if I went to an older person, which I did, I believe he worked in a restaurant, actually, and I said, can you respect a person you don't trust? His answer was absolutely not. If I don't trust them, it means they're a bad person, because I immediately give people trust before I ever have a reason to even know anything about who they are. I give them the benefit of the doubt. And that was the difference. For the person in the restaurant, the older gentleman, when he said, I trust everybody until they give me a reason not to, that means that if he does not trust someone, that they're a bad person, and he cannot respect a person who does not behave in a trustworthy way. And I thought, see, now that's me. That's what I was taught to believe. Respect is not just a good way to behave. It is a genuine feeling of appreciation and honor and wow, I am genuinely impressed by you. I have emotional dignity for you because you are above and beyond just the norm. Now, I behave in a respectful way, like the man in the retail store in the mall. Yeah, you can behave in a very respectful way. That doesn't mean you have to feel a certain way for them. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then let's talk about that difference too. When I was putting out more feelers, I said, okay, so I'm way off here. My son literally said to me, I can respect people that I don't trust because they have absolutely nothing to do with each other. And I said, oh my God, you know what? I've been doing this kind of work for 20 years now. I have 35,000 connections and followers. I have had hundreds of clients. I do missionary work, so I speak to thousands of people a year. Okay, I don't know anything. Yes, I will be the first to admit I don't know anything. So I went to these groups. I actually went to groups in LinkedIn, because that's pretty much where I do the bulk of my work. My business, it is a social website, but it is for people who want to do business. It's not like Facebook or Instagram. It's really about people who want to work together in a professional capacity. And I wanted to know the people that I am connected to in this venue, in this forum, what do they think? So I went to several different groups and I listened in to what they had to say. And I just kind of posed a few questions and I made a few statements to see their remarks. Okay, so I'm even worse. I'm even worse than those, because I assumed that people were, I don't know, I thought they thought like me. Okay, so without getting too specific about that. But they really don't have the confidence to express what they're feeling when they get together physically. And that's another thing I realized, that technology has made us less than trusting and less than honest with each other. And that scared me. Okay, it looks like I have another question here. Machismo and feminine-like balance in the scales-like balance. Do you get emotional awareness by healing? Or okay, so that's two different questions that I have here. One is machismo and feminism, like balance in the scales. Okay, now, machismo, thank you for us talking about that, because everybody who watches me, listens to me, knows that I love my husband more than anything in the world. He's an ESTP and he's very, very Mexican. Now, machismo, that just basically means that men think that they are better than women and they're arrogant. I think machismo is completely heinous and it's gross and it's wrong in every way, because again, it begs the question of, are men superior? Do they deserve better because they are better? No, of course not, not in any way. And feminism, when it's trying to take equality from the original purpose of we are worth the same. If we do the exact same thing, we deserve to get the exact same results. But it doesn't factor in the human element of, but I'm never going to see every person, male or female, different nationalities, different races, exactly the same, because we are so individually different. And I know, again, this could be a good or a bad thing. I grew up in Federal Way, Washington, so it was pretty diverse, even in the 80s. And I'm thinking back when I was growing up, my congregation, yes, we had Orientals, we had Hispanics, we had Blacks, we had Whites, we had, I don't think we had any Russians. Russia and Ukrainian wasn't real big in the 80s over in Seattle, but I did, and I traveled a lot with my mom. So I went to Asia, I went to all over the United States, New York. There was a lot more diversity in New York than there was, say, in Phoenix, okay? When we were getting together, I just saw people for who they were, and I learned about personalities at a very young age. The reason why I had the strength and the endurance to go through horrible experiences in life was because I understood behavior patterns, and that transcended cultural differences. People from China behave very, very differently in public, but they have this same inherent strengths and talents and gifts and abilities. So when we were in our congregation meetings, or when we would do community service together, and God basically told them, be who you are. I love you and I appreciate you and I accept you unconditionally for who you are. It never occurred to me that prejudice existed, because we were all very appreciative. We were grateful and respectful, and we trusted each other as a spiritual family. So when we're talking about, okay, the next question you asked was emotional awareness by healing, or do you heal by being emotionally aware? Excellent. That's perfect for this next topic that I wanted to discuss. Emotional awareness, you have to have a healing first. You have to be healthy on some level before you can be aware, because, and this is another thing that my husband, my very Mexican, who grew up in Tijuana, Mexico, so it was kill or be killed, the mentality was survival. And I think probably for the first 5 years of my marriage, it was me saying to him, honey, you're not in a survival situation anymore. I'm not a threat to your personal safety. Okay, so what we're talking about now is the synergy that people can create when they come together. It is positive or it's negative. And again, I always tell people, when we got politics involved, when we have business involved, how much of what we're creating is positive and how much is negative, and how much of it, well, you know, it's neutral. Last week I posed a question, what is more, let's say, harmful to each other? Impotence, incompetence, ignorance, or indifference? You know what? Believe it or not, people, when we're indifferent, when we don't care, that is negative emotional energy. And so when we think about the energy that we have as either positive or negative, proactively, one of my esteemed colleagues here, who called in earlier to the show, and he had some technical difficulties, but one of his favorite things to say, even here messaging, is, yeah, we have a personal power. We have to wield it in a good way. We are accountable for the decisions that we make. I agree. And when we have the positive energy and it's contagious, we're moving forward. There is no inertia. We're either moving towards each other or we're moving away from each other. Now, keep in mind, he's an ESFJ like my oldest son. And let me just give a shout out to all ESFJs. One of them is the partner that I have for a new show that I'm doing. Every week now, I'm going actually to a social website in addition to my show here, just because people, they do prefer social media. But then I also say, especially for people like ESFJs, like my son and my new partner and my esteemed colleague who called in earlier with a question, actually several great questions, people don't know how to be together anymore. We need to get together. And in fact, I have a new a new client that without giving too much personal information, I said to her, you know what? It's okay for you to homeschool, but you need to get out. Maybe you need to do your homeschooling in a library because as an intuitive feeler, you have an amazing ability to feel people, be around people. As an introvert, it's okay for you to not want to be socially directly interactive with them. That's not a problem at all. We just need to make sure that when you are physically near them, you have good, positive energy, that your thoughts and your feelings are healthy. You don't ever accidentally get healthy. You have to know, first of all, what the problem is, and then how to solve it in the way that is most natural for your type. Because five different people could come to me with five different issues, with five different problems, and I would give them five different solutions, suggestions, game plans, tools, and resources because we are all so different. And again, the question that I was asking people, especially the people at the car dealership in Everett, I stayed there for about half an hour talking to several different people. It was just originally to go through the survey for my radio show. No, when we come together, we can make each other higher quality, and that is going to make us more powerful exponentially when we get together. Be very careful when you are in an unhealthy state of mind, when you are in an unhealthy condition emotionally, you have to get yourself back into a high quality state because you are going to affect people in an either positive or negative way. You are either going to draw them to you or you're going to push them away. Who do you believe you are accountable to? What do you believe you are accountable for? When we know that there are things going on in our life that are just going to have to happen because you know what? There is evil in the world. One of my favorite scriptures that we were talking about in the congregation is, I request you not to take them out of the world. Leave them in the world, but have them be no part of the world. Wow. Okay. So we can debate about that for 20 minutes. But what it meant to me as a very young girl was, I need to be with people. I just need to be healthy around them and to conquer evil with good. Do you believe that your good can actually conquer evil? Wow. Okay. You know what? I do believe, and even people who are not religious, who are not spiritual, they know that if they tough it out and they hold their ground in a good and healthy way, they are going to motivate and inspire others to succeed. And again, the only reason why people most of the time believe that negative is more powerful than positive is because people give up. And that's what it comes down to. You have to stick it out. You have to hold your ground and you have to remain firm in your thoughts and your beliefs and your speech. Your behavior will display what you genuinely believe in your heart. So how do we overcome the negative that's inside of us? Again, Andrew, when he was asking me questions about emotional awareness, do you gain emotional awareness by healing or do you heal by being emotionally aware? No, you definitely have to be aware in order to heal because you're never accidentally going to resolve profound issues. Mindfulness. Okay, so let me just get back on my soapbox here. I never liked the word mindful because it just sounded too buzz to me, okay? And we've got a very popular Canadian psychologist, okay? And I saw something that he was talking about the other day on, I think it was on YouTube. He really likes to get passionate, and the psychology field, they like to throw out big words. Okay, well, congratulations. You got big words. But what in the world does that mean to normal people? You have to know what's going on. And the more aware you are of what's going on inside of you, the more you will be capable of doing and being those things for others outside. Okay, and then that brings up another proverb, another very popular quote. Put the mask on yourself first. Well, okay, but then I have an opinion about that too. Please just stick with me here, because I want to let everybody again know that I was in probably four different chat rooms on social media. I spoke to probably 350 people personally, and I reached out to about 400 connections on LinkedIn in individual messaging. Wow, taking care of yourself first. What does that mean? How do you do that? This is my question, my test question. Are you in considerably higher quality when you are done taking care of yourself? I got to tell you, it really upset me when we were talking. Let me pull this up, because I did make a note of it and I don't want to misquote. Hold on. Enhancing workplace relations. About, okay, artificial intelligence. It was about prayer. Oh, and meditation. Okay, we were talking about meditation and forgiveness. The group was actually about forgiveness. They didn't even talk about forgiveness in a plain and understandable way. All they did was talk about how cathartic it is when you do it. Or they would say, you need to let it go. Well, how do you do that? You have to conquer the evil with good. You have to get yourself in a good mood, period. And again, I'll say it again. I loved it on Say Anything when Joan Cusack was talking with John Cusack, and he's an ISFP. By the way, I love that. So is my granddaughter. And he said to her, how hard is it just to decide to be in a good mood and then be in a good mood? And she's like, what the hell kind of a question is that? If it were easy, everyone would do it, right? Yeah, we can't all do it easily. We have to know how to proactively conquer the bad inside of us. We have to be aware. And that's why I tell people, learn about yourself. There's two things you need to learn about yourself. Your true nature. Yeah, your personality. I'm willing to give people a discount on their personality because they need to know truly who they are. If their nurture, their life experiences have undermined the things that they were able to do really in their full capacity, then they need to work through all of those things that have happened to them. But it's always in the context of, but how did my personality affect the way I reacted to that? Because let me tell you something, five different people can have the exact same experience. It's going to affect them five different ways based on their personality. Yes, I raised my three different children in three completely different ways based strictly on their personalities. I got a lot of flack for that. A lot of people were judging me because I was inconsistent, because I didn't have discipline with my children. That's not true. I just knew that as different people, they needed to be aware of what their own strengths and weaknesses were. They needed to know how to ask for help in not only the way, right, that would be the most helpful to them, but what specifically would be the most resourceful and supportive and encouraging and confirming form of help. Yeah, some people need more emotional support. Some people need more mental support. Some people need physical support. Do you know what you need? You have to be mindfully aware. And then you have to learn how to communicate. Wow. So if your awareness goes up about yourself, then that also relaxes you enough to make your awareness about others and your willingness to improve. That means the quality of the energy that you feel when you are around other people is going to be exponentially better. Again, you don't add to people, you don't multiply people, you empower them. Okay, so who do you believe that you are accountable to? What do you believe you are accountable for? Let's just put it on the most basic level, your emotional energy. When you have good, healthy emotional energy and you are maximizing people's strengths and talents and gifts and abilities by saying to them, I'm going to give you the opportunity to feel more joy in giving than in receiving by telling you that who you are is powerful and it's appreciated and it's respected and it's trusted by me. Go directly to them. Be physically with them. You don't have to text. You don't have to email. You can call them. You can actually hear their voice. You can get together with them. go to a place, make time to say to people who you are is powerful and it's valuable to me. You are making the world a better place when you are your true nature, when you are the best of your best, because who you truly are is the best. Nature or God made you that way because the world needs people like you. So then, another question that someone asked me, hold on, I'm going to go scroll up a little bit because this was a really good question. Let's see. Okay. And I couldn't find the question, so I'll come back to it a little bit later. Oh, about feminism. Weaponize when they say emotions, turn around, play acknowledge to gain control. Yeah. Okay. So self-preservation. Okay. Sorry. I'm thinking out loud. When we say to people, your personality didn't change just because your behavior changed. I know that if your culture, your society, your job won't allow you to be who you truly are, you're being something that you're not in those situations. I'm going to let you be the real you. Take your time, get the real you out, and I'm not going to make you do things that are not you for any longer than I absolutely have to, because I understand that while not being you is a bad thing, being not you, what you are doing instead of the authentic you is actually doing harm to you. I'm not going to ask you not only to harm yourself by doing something that's not true, but I'm not going to ask you to suffocate and smother yourself by not doing what is you. So then when you get to that point with people and you can say, I appreciate the differences because I know myself and I appreciate myself, then you can say anything that you need me to be for you in the way of support and encouragement and affirmation to you, reach out to me. Because if I know that who I am when I'm being my authentic self is going to make you exponentially better, I feel the joy, the more joy in giving than in receiving. You can't put a price on that either. And when I ask people, how much time do you think? Because some people say, I look really good for my age. Yeah, I don't look or feel or act 48. I just turned 48. And I say, how much do you think I put into myself in time? Let's quantify the value of time. $15 an hour, which is a good general dollar amount per hour. If I have spent 3,000 hours, okay, over 30 years, that's 100 hours. Yeah, 3,000 hours at 15, that's 45,000. What if I've spent 30,000 hours on myself, $400,500,000? You know what? Are you worth $500,000 in time? Do you believe that if you're better quality of mind, your better condition of heart, your better physical state of your body is going to make the world a better place? Are you worth that time? Or would you rather go to work for an extra, how many hours is it going to cost you to, or take for you to earn $400,000? It could take 30 years. Okay. Would you rather go to work for an extra hour a day or take care of yourself so you don't ever have to earn that money? So you don't ever have to spend that money on what? Medications, on plastic surgery, on devices that you use. What are people genuinely worth? What is their emotional strength and their mental resources? What are you worth? What am I worth? Yeah, you know what? When you actually say to people, I can't put a price on you, you are invaluable. That is empowering to them. And if they know that you know, if you know that they know that you know, then you can look at each other. And the times when we're not really able to be honest with ourselves, right? And we can't even be honest with each other until we're honest with ourselves. Then they can say, it's okay, because I know that you know. You do need to have me with you. Just tell me when and where and how, because you're worth my time. Time is worth more than money. And high quality means we don't need a large quantity. When we have the ability to empower people and we say to them, yeah, I'm absolutely at your disposal, that you're accessible to. Oh, and that was the other thing I wanted to say. I only have a few minutes left for my show. But what I want people to know is ready, willing, and able. Yeah, those are nice things to be for other people. But how about ready, willing, able, and accessible? One of the most important experiences I had as a very young girl with my father, I said, Papa, I don't want to go home. I want to stay with you past the weekend. I only got to see him every other weekend. I said, Papa, I want to stay with you. And he said, honey, I'm with you even when I'm not physically there. I said, no, you're not. My mother is, and I can't stand her, and I want to run away, and I'm going to run away if you don't stop and bring me back home with you. And he said, call me. I will always answer the phone when you call. I said, well, what if you're doing something more important? He said, nothing is more important than you. And I, okay, hold on. Do I have a chat? Here we go. Hold on. Let me see. What's it got? Nothing. 3 minutes. Okay, good. So what I said was, but how am I going to be able to call you? What if she says that I can't? And he said, here's a bag of quarters. He handed me a bag of quarters. It was my private stash. And he said, here's the closest payphone. This was way back when phone calls were a quarter. And he said, you can run out of the house and you can call me anything you need to talk about. I said, okay. So I did it. I tested him a few times, but the fact that he always picked up, that was what mattered. Half the time I didn't even want to talk to him. I just wanted to know that he was there. Ladies and gentlemen, make yourselves available. Not just ready, willing, and able. Tell people in their life, in your life, that you are available and you are accessible to them. Let's get out of the technology. Let's get together again. Let's be together again. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show because I know we've got something else that my producer needs to do. But again, just a little plug. If you want to get to my website, www.synergyrelationshipcoaching.com. If you want to email me a question, you can go to BBS Radio, or no, I'm sorry. Email me directly, which is thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. And anytime you want to check me out on LinkedIn, it's just my name, Gabrielle Cardona. I do this every week. Check in, let me know what your interests, what your questions are, and I'll absolutely have them on my radio show because you can't always afford to hire me, but you still deserve to have your questions answered. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Empower yourself with synergy, and we'll see you same time next week. BBS Radio, I'm Gabrielle Cardona.